Hare Krishna. So we are continuing and concluding our six-part lecture series, which is entitled The Path of Grace. I'd like to take the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas here present here before I can talk a little bit about this subject. And in our discussion, we have been talking about how Maharaj Pratap Rudra is revealing different qualities as a practitioner devotee, as a Vaishnava, in order to get the grace and the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How he is putting in place all the different visa documents in order to ultimately get the visa granted by Sriman Mahaprabhu. Bhakti, as the seminar is entitled, is the path of grace. And on this path of grace, our efforts are all just the visa documents that we can all put in place, file them in the consulate of Golok Vrindavan. And when the Supreme Lord, the High Commission of Golok Vrindavan, Sriman Mahaprabhu decides to give mercy, and the Consulate General of Golok Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada, decides to give mercy, grace, then finally the visa for the spiritual world can be achieved and got. And therefore, bhakti is the path of grace. So far we have discussed how Pratap Rudra Maharaj has filed 9 documents. The first document being his acceptance of authority in understanding of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. The second document being his intense desire to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The third document being his faith in the words of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, accepting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. The fourth being his service attitude to Lord Chaitanya, arranging for the house of Kashi Mishra to stay when Lord Chaitanya returns from South India. The fifth document being uncommanding nature, when all the simple devotees of Jagannath Puri were being introduced to Lord Chaitanya, he didn't barge in saying, "I did the service, I need the mercy." Uncommanding nature. Sixth document being his Vaishnav Seva, service to Ramananda Rai and all the devotees from Bengal. The seventh document being non-enviousness. Ramananda Rai had got mercy of Lord Chaitanya, but Pratap Rudra was not envious. Eighth document being humility, considering himself unqualified and undeserving to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the ninth, which we had discussed last week, was patience, waiting. Even if I can see Mahaprabhu in after millions of lifetimes, I'm okay, ready to wait, but I will not give up my desire to take darshan of Mahaprabhu. The tenth document or the tenth quality that Maharaj Pratap Rudra revealed was determination. And therefore, his determination was, come hell or high waters, I shall not give up my resolve to achieve the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tara pratigya morena karibe darshan, mora pratigya taha vina chhadi bajivan. Tara pratigya, it is his pratigya, it is his vow that he will not see me. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken a solemn vow, pratigya, that he will not give me darshan. If he is determined not to give me darshan, then I am determined. Mora pratigya taha vina chhadi ba jivan. His determination is not to come in front of me, and my determination is, if he doesn't come in front of me, I shall end my life. And therefore, the tenth document that Maharaj Pratap Rudra filed in his visa application for the spiritual world, for the grace, was determination. And one sees, even in this material world, even to gain some material object, people are so determined. To get a degree, people are so determined. One guy was standing in front of a management college, and the watchman was standing there with a stick in the hand, guarding the college, entrance into the college. And one guy was filling the form for this college, applying for the management course. So he asked the watchman, "How is this college?" The watchman said, "Fantastic college. I did my MBA from here. I passed my master's degree from here, and now I'm standing here as a watchman. You know, in India, I don't know how it is here, people are so determined to get education, so determined to get a degree. There is a degree in India called CA. Here in England also, I believe, Chartered Accountancy. And people qualify to be Chartered Accountants. In India, I know one family where the father and the son qualified for CA together. Both got the degree together. Because in India, you can attempt as many times for this one course, because the result is only 1%. Therefore, they call CA as come again. You know, please keep coming again to write the exam. And people are so determined to get this degree. They'll keep walking, come year after year after year. Never give up. Get the degree, but never give up. You know, Thomas Alva Edison. We've heard, even in this material world, when his bulb was invented and it so many failures, 10,000 times he failed. And then when he was asked, why didn't you give up? He said, at least I learned 10,000 ways of how it does not work. You know. And this man, when he was 67 years old, in the year 1914, he set up a $2 million factory. In 1914, $2 million was a lot of money. He set up a whole factory with $2 million invested in it. And one day this factory was on fire. Everything was being burned down to ashes. What a failure. Already there were so many failures and now was one more. He was standing in the factory with a smile on his face. 67 year old. And the son was looking at this whole spectacle and saying, Papa, do something. He kept smiling. He couldn't do anything. The factory was burned down to ashes. In fact, he called his son, call your mother. She should also witness this spectacle. And Thomas Edison's wife came there. And she was watching the whole spectacle of the factory being burned down to ashes. And the next evening, as both of them were walking, his wife asked him, why were you smiling? You know, your factory is being burned down to ashes. Why were you smiling? And Edison said, when the factory got burnt, all the mistakes that we had in the factory are burnt. Now we'll start afresh. You know, all the mistakes that were there in our administration, in our business strategies, in our products, everything has been burned down to ashes. Let us start afresh by making a new investment and starting a new factory. God will send us the money. In this world, there's no dearth of examples of people who are hell-bent on achieving heaven in this world. You know, they're hell-bent to have heaven in this world. Determined absolutely. Hell or high waters, this is the object that we want to achieve and we shall have it. We shall get it. You know, in India there was a very famous politician, freedom fighter, called Lokmanya Bal Gangadhar Tilak. And he said, freedom is my birthright and I shall have it. Toiled for it, struggled for it, ups and downs, troubles and struggles, peaks and troughs, you know, ups and downs, highs and lows, didn't matter. Kept going with firm determination. And therefore, what is Maharaj Pratap Rudra's slogan? His slogan is, mercy is my birthright and I shall have it. With determination I shall go through all the struggles and not give up. Failure after failure after failure after failure. Sarvam Bhattacharya was pleading to Lord Chaitanya. Others were pleading to Lord Chaitanya. Ramananda Rai is pleading to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want to see him. And again Pratap Rudra is asking Sarvam Bhattacharya, what happened? He said, the Lord doesn't want to see you. But this man had such incredible determination. He was willing to go on through all those failures to ultimately see the success of receiving the mercy of Sriman Mahaprabhu. In India, you know how people are, many times to solve problems. Solving problems means they'll give some donation to the sadhu and say, give ashirvad. You know, give some blessings. In India, there is a temple in Kerala called Guruvayur. Guruvayur Appan temple. temple of Lord Krishna. Beautiful temple. Very, very sweet, beautiful form of Krishna. Krishna there is called Guruvayur Appan, the Lord of Guruvayur, you know. And there was a common notion. If you have problems in life, just donate one elephant to the Guruvayur temple. Your problems will be solved. By the way, elephant is pretty expensive. Right. They're not cheap. So it used to be a huge amount of money to solve your problem. If you're going through real hell lot of problems, then you have to somehow donate an elephant. So one guy in India, so many problems in his life, he finally decided, I have to go to Guruvayur and donate an elephant. But that time, the Guruvayur temple was going through a massive financial crunch. And to feed an elephant needs a lot of money. They already had several. So they refused this man. Sorry. There's a financial crisis. You can have your problems in your life. We can't take an elephant. This man was so determined to solve his problems. Every few weeks he kept coming with the elephant. Riding the elephant. Take the elephant or I'll give up my life here. They said, sorry sir. We can't take the elephant. We have too many in our stable there. We can't take it. This man was so determined. He went to the Indian court. And this is a real story, by the way. He went to the Indian court and filed a petition that I have problems and their books say that problems will be solved by giving an elephant to Guruvayur Krishna and they are not taking elephant. You know. And the interesting part of the story was, the judge was an atheist. So he heard the whole story and the temple was not willing to take and he was willing to give. So the judge said, this temple is not willing and I am an atheist, I have to give this elephant. So he ruled in the favor of the man. And one more elephant was added to Guruvayur's collection of elephants. Krishna wanted one elephant. People can be so determined to solve their problems, their failures, go through all the struggles, to remain firm. I want to do it. Come what may, I'll go to the court, but I'll do it. Here in England, there was a very famous preacher called Henry Becher. And he used to preach and tell people, I'll solve all your problems. Just write your problems on a piece of paper and drop it in a box. And through faith healing and all this stuff, I'll solve all your problems. People would come just for solving all their problems. Some people were appreciative of him and some people were very condemning him. You know. And one day he opened the box, he found all the chits. And one guy who was against Henry, he wrote on a piece of paper, right in the middle of the paper, in big letters, fool. Calling him a fool, you're a fool. And Henry Becher saw this. No problem. You know, he came to the dais and started speaking. He said, till today people were writing letters to me in this box. And sometimes I would get letters but they would not sign their name. Today I have got a letter with only the name signed there. Because it says fool. You know. My God. People are so determined to achieve what they want in life. Pratap Rudra Maharaj was determined. His object was nothing material of this world. His object was not problem solving. You know, I have some health issues. Krishna, help me. Mahaprabhu, I want to see you. I have migraines. You know, cure my migraines. No. His purpose was simply to achieve and receive the mercy of the Lord. And therefore, determination means going from failure to failure to failure without quitting. That is the definition of determination. One may go from one failure to another, another failure to another, but one does not give up. One does not quit. In Krishna consciousness also, many times, we go through a lot of failures. Just like Maharaj Pratap Rudra saw no reciprocation from Lord Chaitanya, many times we don't find reciprocation in our chanting. We chant Hare Krishna, and there seems to be no reciprocation. Years pass by, and the beads keep moving, the lips keep moving, but there seems to be no reciprocation. Seems like a very similar story, you know. Maharaj Pratap Rudra denying to meet, Lord Chaitanya denying to meet Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And so also, In chanting of Hare Krishna, many times we feel there is no reciprocation. And these feelings of guilt, these feelings of depression, these feelings of frustration, these feelings of failure, every morning when we try to chant our rounds and we are not able to focus, it's a big failure. From an apparent point of view, it's a big failure. Krishna is not reciprocating. Krishna is not responding. And these feelings can overwhelm a devotee to such an extent that the devotee even stops trying. And then japa becomes mechanical japa. There is no effort. There is no effort put to try to improve the quality of one's chanting, because one is just so frustrated. Every day I try. Every single day I try. Morning japa is like a boxing match. You know? One boxer is the devotee and the second boxer is Maya. You know? Keeps knocking. Sometimes through sleep, sometimes through inattention, sometimes through hunger. Sometimes devotee with the bead bag in the hand is going around for some prasad. You know? Different things. Different things. Therefore, one cannot allow feelings of frustration and failures to rule one's Krishna consciousness. Feelings are supposed to be like birds. You know, birds, so many birds may fly over the Bhaktivedanta manor, the roof. No problem. So many birds may fly over. No problem. But if those birds come inside and make a nest here, that is a problem. You know, that is a problem. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And when he came to the Vrindavan temple, Krishna Balaram temple, devotees were showing him the book display they made, nice books, you know. And Prabhupada was appreciative. And then Prabhupada, all the devotees were saying to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, just see, we have made a first class book display for you. And Prabhupada pointed over towards the chandelier and said, this may be first class, but this is fifth class. And there was a nest. Some pigeons had made a nest inside and, you know, were living in that nest. And Prabhupada said, I have traveled 6,000 miles to only show you how your management is fifth class. You know, you're showing the first class book display and see the nest here. Therefore, when the birds fly over the roof, there is no issue. When the birds come inside the room and make a nest, that is when the problem is. Similarly, all our feelings should simply pass through our mind. Feelings passing through the mind is like the birds flying over the roof. They'll come and they'll go. Every day, sparrows and pigeons fly over the Bhaktivedanta manor. And similarly, feelings like the birds will surface and pass through our mind. Sometimes there'll be a pigeon of frustration. Sometimes there'll be a sparrow of failure. Sometimes there'll be a magpie of depression. All these birds can pass through the mind like the birds flying over the roof. But if these feelings enter the room, the heart, and build a nest, one loses hope and one loses determination. That is when devotees start getting trouble in Krishna consciousness. When they allow the birds to enter the heart and build a nest and reside there, not just reside but even allow to breed by giving eggs and creating more negative feelings. Therefore, if the feelings pass over the roof, the mind, no problem. But if they take a foothold in the heart, one loses one's hope and loses one's determination to fight the material energy and practice Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he was determined. His failures, lack of reciprocation, he didn't allow these feelings that passed through his mind to make a nest in his heart. And because he didn't allow these feelings to make a nest in the heart, he remained firm in executing his duties in Krishna consciousness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his book The Madhurya Kadambini, explains the distress of a pure devotee and the distress of a sadhaka. The distress of a pure devotee is because of compassion, and the distress of a sadhaka is because of passion. You know, a pure devotee also goes through distress. I didn't serve enough. I'm not pure enough. I'm not chanting enough. I'm not serving enough. And the distress of a sadhaka is because of four A's, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. The first A, Agyan. ignorance. A sadhaka goes through a lot of distress because of feelings of ignorance. The second A, asakti. A sadhaka goes through distress because of material attachments. The third A is ahankar. The sadhaka goes through distress because of false ego. And the fourth A is asuya. The sadhaka goes through distress because of envy. You know? These are the four reasons for the feelings, frustrated feelings of a practitioner, devotee. Agyan, asakti, ahankar, and asuya. Ignorance, material attachments, envy, and false ego. You know? And therefore, being so frustrated, depressed, and distressed by these four, a sadhaka makes a nest inside the heart. A nest where all these negative feelings of frustration because of these four A's dwell, and loses his determination to fight in Krishna consciousness. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, great soul, never gave up his determination. Wanted to receive the mercy of Sriman Mahaprabhu, never gave up his determination. You know what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says? He says, what is the determination of a devotee? The determination of a devotee is, if Krishna comes and tells him, stop chanting. How we would like it? Imagine how wonderful that would be. If Radha Gokulan says, Prabhu, don't worry. Stop. They're saying, Radha Gokulan. Shishi Govinda ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman ji. Don't take this as a sign that they're saying. You know. Imagine if Radha Gokulananda say, Prabhu, don't worry. Stop chanting. After all, I am going to give you mercy in your chanting. I'm telling you, no matter how much you chant, I shall not give you mercy. No matter how many rounds you chant and how many pots of Charanamrit you drink, and how many Mangalarti sweets you eat, and no matter how many Bhagavatam classes you hear, no matter how many darshans you take, I promise you, I'll not give you mercy. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, what's a devotee's determination? Even if Krishna personally comes and says to the devotee, give up chanting my name, the devotee says, sorry Krishna. Sorry. You can tell me to do anything else. No problem. This one thing I cannot give up. And this is not disobedience. This pleases Krishna. Krishna doesn't ask such kind of questions. He asked this question to test a devotee. And the devotee's response is, no, I'll not give up. And Krishna is extremely pleased. And therefore, Maharaj Pratap Rudra's determination was exactly in accordance with what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said. Lord Chaitanya was not willing to give mercy. But he said, even if the Lord comes and tells me I won't give you mercy, I'm determined. Tara pratigya mora na karibe darshan. His pratigya is, he won't give me darshan? Okay. Mora pratigya taha vina chadi bajivan. And my vow is, I will have him. Lord Chaitanya's mercy is my birthright. And I shall have it. And therefore, there is a nice English quote. Working for God may not be as rewarding, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. You know? While we are here practicing Krishna consciousness, challenges, struggles, failures, working for God may not seem as rewarding. To go through all those failures with determination. But the retirement benefits, when one quits the job and goes back, are out of this world in Golok Vrindavan. You know. And now soon, the retirement benefits will start coming. In the last 5 lectures, we have only been hearing the hard side of Mahaprabhu. Now, we shall also begin to discuss the softer side of Sriman Mahaprabhu. You know what is the difference between higher taste and austerity? Higher taste and austerity, in both cases we have to struggle. In both cases one has to tolerate these failures, these feelings. But in austerity, one does it with a frown on the face.
And in higher taste, one does it with a smile on the face. When one gets a higher taste, going through all of this becomes pleasurable. The struggle becomes relishable. And austerity means the same things happen. You have to go through the same things. But there's a frown on the face. I have to chant 16 rounds. Even a person who has higher taste is struggling, but he has a smile. I have to chant 16 rounds, you know. And therefore, as we move on with determination, we want to move from austerity to higher taste, from a frown on the face to a smile on the face, firmly with determination, moving on the path of grace. The 11th document filed by Maharaj Pratap Rudra was that he received the blessings of his Guru. Guru Kripa. He had determination to move on, but now he received Guru Kripa. And that is the verse that we are reading today. Bhattacharya kahe deva na karo vishad. Sarvam Bhattacharya told Pratap Rudra, na karo vishad. Don't lament. My dear king, don't lament. Tomara prabhur avashya hoi be prasad. I promise you, avashya, definitely, very soon, Lord Chaitanya, Koribe Prasad, will give you mercy, you know. And therefore, when one is dutiful, life becomes beautiful. When one is very dutiful in one's Krishna consciousness, according to the instructions of the spiritual master, then life becomes extremely beautiful. As soon as one has determination, Krishna arranges for the proper guidance. The very meaning of the name Dhruva was determination. He was so determined to look for God, the Supreme Lord arranged for Narad Muni to give him guidance. 1971, there was one American boy looking for answers in life. He had three questions in his mind. Who am I? Who is God? And what is the prediction for future? If anyone can answer these three questions, he thought, I'll accept that person as my guru. And he came to Hare Krishna temple. And Srila Prabhupada was giving a talk. Since he had determined to look for these answers, this man was sitting in the back, American guy, young man, and Srila Prabhupada sitting there. And this guy is thinking in his mind, if this Swamiji answers my questions, I'll accept him as my guru. I want answers. And Srila Prabhupada in his talk said, so, after all, who are we? We are not this body. We are simply a spirit soul, insignificant part and parcel of Krishna. You know. And this guy is thinking, hey, wow, he knows who am I. And Prabhupada kept going with the lecture further on. And during the lecture, Prabhupada said, so, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, hey, he gave answer to the second question, who is God? He knows the name of God. And he was thinking, this is too much. If I get the third answer, I have to surrender. And he was thinking, I must leave now. Because I had determination in my heart that if he gives answer to these three questions, I have to accept him as a guru. And he was thinking, I have to leave now. And as he was about to leave, Prabhupada looked right into his face and pointed and said, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kali Yuga is predicted. And in the Bhagavatam it says, Lavanyam Kesha Dharanam. That one will be known, beauty will be known simply by long hair. And this gentleman had long hair. Before he could leave, Srila Prabhupada gave the answer to his third question. What is the prediction about Kali Yuga? And this man said, my God, I can't escape now. Next day this man came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And this is 1971, mind you. He was a young hippie boy. Came with a check of $5,000. And gave this check of $5,000 to Srila Prabhupada. And said, Prabhupada. He didn't know he was called Prabhupada. He said, Swamiji, here I am. You've answered all my three questions. I surrender. Prabhupada saw the check, $5,000. Patted his head and said, this boy has understood our philosophy very well.
that he's engaging all his resources in service to Krishna. And this young American man became His Grace Mahabuddhi Prabhu. Definitely he had Mahabuddhi. You know, all his three questions were answered. And therefore, one who has determination to move on, Krishna arranges the right person to give proper guidance how to move on. And therefore, Prataprudra Maharaj's determination was so firm that Krishna arranged for Sarvam Bhattacharya to tell him what to do. He told Prataprudra, soon there will be Rathayatra. On the day of Rathayatra, give up your kingly clothes. Take off your opulent robes of a king. Take off your crown and your jewels. Put simple robes of a mendicant. And Lord Chaitanya, during the Rathayatra procession, will come and rest in a garden. Go there and you shall definitely receive His mercy. Massage His lotus feet. How Sarvam Bhattacharya knew that Lord Chaitanya will rest there, God knows. How does he know? During the Rathayatra, Lord Chaitanya will be tired. And in this particular garden, he will go and rest. And then you go and massage. Krishna is amazing. How he works through a pure devotee by giving the required guidance to the disciple. Incredibly amazing. You know, Krishna keeps sending many messages to everyone. One time I was resting in the night and I turned my phone off. In the morning when I turned the phone on, there were 20 messages waiting for me. Text messages. The phone kept beeping and messages kept coming in. And I was thinking, my God, the messages have been waiting all night long. My phone was off. As soon as the phone is on, all the waiting messages enter and one can read those messages. You know, therefore our society is called ISKCON, in which the first two alphabets are IS and the last two alphabets are ON and the middle is KC, Krishna Consciousness. Is Krishna Consciousness on? You know, if Krishna Consciousness is on, all the messages come. If our phone is on, all the text messages come. If the phone is kept off, the messages were there but could not be read. And what happens if Krishna Consciousness is off? If Krishna Consciousness is off, then there is offense, called offense. And when there is offense, one is thrown beyond the fence of the instructions of the spiritual master, which is like the fence safeguarding a devotee's spiritual life. Incredibly amazing, you know. Prataprudra Maharaj told him, don't worry, you go. On the day of Rathayatra, Lord Chaitanya will definitely bless you. He received the blessings of his spiritual master, his guru, and that was his 11th document. Without the blessings of the guru, one cannot get the grace of the Lord. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutopi. And when guru makes a promise, the Lord has to fulfill it. There is no choice. When a pure devotee makes a promise, Krishna has no choice. Because Krishna follows the path set by his pure devotee. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, and when his mother tied him to the wooden grinding mortar, Krishna dragged that wooden grinding mortar behind him, and Krishna was not going through the two trees, the Bhagavatam explains. His path was a different path. But as Krishna was dragging this wooden grinding mortar, suddenly he remembered in his mind the promise made by Narad Muni to Nalakuvar and Manigriva when he cursed them to be trees. He had promised Nalakuvar and Manigriva, I'm cursing you to be trees, but I promise you, Krishna will definitely deliver you. Krishna changed his path. A promise of a devotee makes God change his path. The promise of a great devotee makes God change his heart. Makes God change his heart. You know. And what a
amazing promise Srila Prabhupada gave all of us. Prabhupada promised us, you simply chant 16 rounds every day, follow the four regulator principles strictly, remain within the association of devotees and do some service. I promise that you will go back to Godhead. And based on that promise of a pure devotee, Krishna changes his heart. And even if at the end of life somehow or the other things are not working fine, Krishna will change the heart if we simply receive the blessings of His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. One time a disciple came and asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what if I don't remember Krishna at the last moment of death? Prabhupada said, don't worry. Even if you don't remember Krishna, Krishna will remember you. And Krishna will force Himself in your memory. Oh wow. What an amazing blessing that is. Just live your life based on Krishna consciousness. In ISKCON, keep KC on, Prabhupada said. He didn't say that literally. Right. And Krishna will definitely remember us. Sarvam Bhattacharya's promise. Tomare Prabhur Avashya. No doubts. Avashya. Definitely. Hoibe Prasad. Lord Chaitanya will definitely bless you. Maharaj Prataprudra was already going through a lot of distress, you know. And when someone is going to distress, we should never add to more distress by discouraging words. Sarvam Bhattacharya was so encouraging. Don't worry. You go on. Just move on. He's already going through hell. Prataprudra is already going through hell in his life because Mahaprabhu is not seeing him. And Sarvam Bhattacharya didn't add more hell to his life by being discouraging. Devotee means one who encourages. I saw one t-shirt one guy was wearing. Nice slogan, you know. And the slogan said, do not disturb. Already disturbed. You know. A slogan like that written on the t-shirt. Do not disturb. Already disturbed. Sometimes t-shirt slogans are very funny. I read another one. It said, please do not steal. The government does not encourage competition. You know. Funny slogans people write on this. Do not disturb. Already disturbed. Is there less disturbance in the mind living in this material world? There's less disturbance because of problems, issues, you know, health crisis, financial crisis, so many issues. Yesterday one devotee was telling me that the only issue Chitraketu Maharaj had was he had no issue. You know, the only issue Chitraketu Maharaj had was he had no issue, and that's the world. That's the world. Hundreds of issues to deal with. Already disturbed. Therefore a devotee should not add to that disturbance. A devotee's job is not to add to the already existing disturbance in the lives of other people and other devotees because of what's happening in life. You know. Therefore devotee is very encouraging. Absolutely encouraging. Gives hope. Gives faith. Gives encouragement. Does not say, arey, someone comes and say, you know, my japa is not good. Even mine is not good. Don't worry. He says, don't worry. Japa, will discuss how to improve japa. You know, sometimes two people, two devotees come together and have same problem. And both of them come to discuss the problem and end becoming more depressed by each other's problem at the end of the discussion. You know, quite funny. One time a husband and a wife had a big fight. And both were driving a car. And the husband was, you know, trying to discourage her, already upset with her. He looked that there were some donkeys outside. And he saw outside the window and told the wife, see your relatives. Already disturbed and adding more disturbance. And the lady said, oh yeah, yeah, my relatives, they are my in-laws. You know. My God. Life is already full of a lot. We should learn from Sarvam Bhattacharya. Prataprudra going through so much, adding encouragement to the devotee's life. Srila Prabhupada was so encouraging to the devotees. One time a devotee came and said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, it is very difficult to control the tongue. You know what Prabhupada did? He stuck his tongue out and said, I have one also. You know, don't worry. As if he had a problem controlling the tongue. But Prabhupada encouraged him, don't worry, it'll happen. And once a devotee came, a sannyasi came and said to Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, last week I saw my wife in the dream." Sannyasi. And he's saying, "I saw my wife in the dream, my former wife, so I'm very disturbed." Prabhupada said, "1 month back I also saw my wife in the dream." Relax. As if Prabhupada actually saw the wife in the dream. Mahabhagavat. But a pure devotee, a Vaishnava, his job is to make others feel encouraged. There is hope. Don't worry. Life is not hopeless. This is the path of grace. And on the path of grace, Tomara Prabhur Avashya Hoi Be Prasad, definitely there will be mercy that will come your way. So the 11th document Maharaj Pratap Rudra got was Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's blessings, Guru Kripa. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya further speaks to Pratap Rudra. And now Pratap Rudra files his 12th document, which is his love for Sriman Mahaprabhu. His affection, his love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya says, "Teha premadhin, tomar prema gadhatar. Teho premadhin." Lord Chaitanya is prema adhin, controlled by love. "Tomar prema gadhatar," and your love is viscous, thick, gadha. He is controlled by love, and your love is thick and viscous. Not like the regular honey. Your love is like the manuka honey. You know, queen bees. Have you ever seen manuka honey? Thick, viscous, made by the queen bee. You know, my dear king, he is controlled by love, and your love is thick and intense. Avashya karibain kripa tomara upar. Because of this love, I know Lord Chaitanya will bless you. His Holiness Srila Hridayanand Goswami Maharaj, in one purport in the 10th canto, makes a very powerful statement. He says, control is visible and control is felt only when there is no love. If there's no love, anything someone says to us, he's trying to control me. He's trying to boss over me. He's trying to push me. Wherever there is love, control is never seen as control. Control is seen as a means to serve. But as soon as there is no affection, no love, every little thing, control, is seen as control and resistance. You know, there is resistance. A nurse loves a child and a mother loves a child. Is there a difference? Definitely there is a difference. Sadhaka's love for holy name and Krishna is like the nurse's love for the baby. Have to do it. Have to chant my 16 rounds. Nurse's love for the child. And devotees like Pratap Rudra Maharaj, their love for Krishna is like the mother's love for the child. Spontaneous. Absolutely natural. Flows from the heart. You know, His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj was once mentioning. He said, when do we know we are developing taste for chanting the holy name? When we begin the 17th round. On our own. You know, when the 16th round gets over, there is a sigh of relief. At least for me, it is definitely, you know, my God, done for the day. And one time, again, empathizing with all the devotees, Prabhupada finished his 16 rounds like this and then pulled out his beads and showed the devotees. Finished. And then Prabhupada said, now I am free to do any damn thing throughout the day. You know, of course, that doesn't mean he did any damn thing. He just said, now my responsibility of chanting Hare Krishna is over. A mother's love is extremely selfless. Even if there is no reciprocation, the mother will keep loving. And therefore Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya said, your love is so God, so intense, there has been no reciprocation from Krishna, still you love. There was once a mother, and the mother had a son, beautiful son, loved his mother like anything. And as the son grew up, the son had a firm resolve in his life. I will not get married. Mother said, why beta? Why will you not get married? Said, if I get married, And if my wife doesn't like you, your daughter-in-law, be trouble. It'll be trouble. And I don't want you to go through trouble because I love you so much. My dear mother, I won't get married. After a while, the mother said, don't worry, not everyone's wife is like this. She will be an exception. And he said, okay, no problem. You choose a girl for me. She chose a girl, you know. He chose a girl. And the girl's father was a rich man also. Gave some dowry, this, that, nice amount of money to the guy. Like they say, you know, what is the biggest law for successful business? Father-in-law. You know, he gives the money to invest, they say. So this guy got a huge amount of money from the father-in-law. 6 months, things were going on fine. And after 6 months, Sas and Bahu. Typical mother-in-law, daughter-in-law issues. I used to think it only happens in India. When I started traveling west, sometimes western mother-in-laws also come and tell same stories. I was surprised. Surprised. Same thing everywhere, you know. Principles are the same, universal principles. After 6 months, conflict. So much so, the son came and said to the mother, Mother, I have no choice. Either she lives here or you live here. The mother said, no problem. I'll move to an old age home. And she moved to an old age home, you know. And the son, earning a lot of money, every month would send the mother an envelope filled with 25,000 rupees, which was a lot of money for an old lady to just take care of herself in an old age home. After 3 years of staying there in the old age home, one day this guy and his wife were going for a movie and this guy received a phone call, come immediately, mother is very sick. He was just turning and the wife said, come on, she can't be so sick, she's not dying after all, we'll finish the movie and then go. They went, sat for the movie, in the intermission again he got a phone call, mother is very sick, come. The lady said, "Hey, she's not dying after all, wait, we'll finish, half movie left, we'll go." The movie got over, both of them came, the mother was dead. The son wept bitterly, cried bitterly. He loved his mother, intense affection for his mother all through his life. Cried bitterly. The person in charge of the old age home came and gave a letter and a bag to this guy. He took the letter and read through the letter. As he read through the letter, he simply cried. The letter said, my dear son, I have loved you always. I love you and I shall continue to love you. She said, you used to send me this 25,000 rupees per month and I did not spend even one penny out of that, son. All the money that you sent for 3 years, every month, is in this bag because you were such a nice son. At least you would send me 25,000 rupees a month. In the future, when you may have to go to the old age home, you may not have a son like you are who would send this money. So I was thinking, if this were your situation and your son wouldn't give you money, who would? Therefore, I didn't spend anything. I kept all the money in this bag for you. Nature of love. Nature of love. Even if there is no reciprocation from the other side, doesn't matter. I'll still keep working for the same person. No reciprocation from the son. Still saved all this money. And therefore Prabhupada said, the purest form of love in this material world is the love between a mother and a child. That is the kind of love that exists between Krishna and a devotee. Some semblance there. That was Maharaj Pratap Rudra's love, you know. No reciprocation from Mahaprabhu, Krishna, Chaitanya. No problem. I'll still love. I'll still go on. Teha prema dhina tomar prema gadhatar. He's controlled by love and your love is intense, viscous, thick. Surely you'll get mercy. Go on. You know, our love affairs in this world are usually, you know, two-sided. Sometimes it's a one-sided affair. And when it's a one-sided affair, it's a great problem. You know, big problem.
there was during the World War a British soldier whose name was Gilbert. He went some place in Germany, fought the war, and as he was being killed, one German man gave him shelter in his house. And the daughter of this German man, lady, fell in love with Gilbert. One-sided. Gilbert didn't even know. And at a point of time, even the father turned against him. So this lady who loved him so much, one-sided love, helped Gilbert to escape from Germany during World War to come back to London. And as he arrived in London, this lady just could not live. Only thinking, Gilbert. So Gilbert conscious. Gilbert. Finally, this is a real story during World War. This girl, with no money, somehow managed to come to London. She didn't know where this man was. She didn't know what his address was. She came to London. And this girl, German girl, was moving all over on the streets of London, shouting, Gilbert, all over, you know. So much so, that the whole of London was resounding only one name, Gilbert, you know. And news reached this man, are you the Gilbert, whose name is being taken? This guy came out, and then saw this girl. Said, "Arey, this is the girl who helped me to escape." Said, "Why are you calling my name?" Said, "I love you." He said, "But I never had such feelings." Said, "That's no problem. You have, you don't have. I still love you." Gilbert got married to this German girl. It's a very famous story from World War times. You know, in our Krishna consciousness, our Krishna consciousness is like this girl's affair. It's a one-sided affair. Not from our side. It's from his side. We were thinking, oh, I love Krishna. No. It's a one-sided affair. It's not from our side. It's from his side. He's been loving us so much. And every single day sending text message, darling, come back. Come back. The meeting place is fixed. Bhaktivedanta Manor, come. I'm waiting under that tree. Come. No reciprocation. You know. My God. And like this girl left Germany calling Gilbert, Krishna lifts the spiritual world to come to this material world calling, my dear soul, come back. You know, Tyaktva sudustyaja surepsita rajya lakshmim aryasht dharmisht arya vachasa yadagadaranyam vande mahapurushate charanaravindam Tyaktva sudustyaja, that which is so difficult to give up, the spiritual kingdom of God. Tyaktva gives up. Surepsita Raja Lakshmim, served by Raja Lakshmis, and comes where? Yadagad Aranyam, into this forest of material existence, to make this one-sided love affair a two-sided love affair. That is Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu left the spiritual world. Mahaprabhu left his wife Vishnupriya. Mahaprabhu left his old mother Sachi Devi and went through all the places of India, calling out, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra Jao Maya, Pishachi Rakole, come back. And therefore, it's quite an incredible thing here. Mahaprabhu comes to make, that is Mahaprabhu's mission. What is his mission? To make the one-sided love affair a two-sided love affair, where even we start loving him. After filing his 12th document, Pratap Rudra Maharaj now files his 13th document. His 13th document is desperation now. Determination, love has now turned into desperation. Like love affairs, people can get desperate. In America, policemen never get involved with what is called as a love triangle. One man after two ladies, one lady after two men. Never get involved with this love triangle. You know why? Because these guys get so desperate. There have been instances in the United States of people involved with a love triangle shooting a policeman. So they say, you do whatever you want. Amongst you, you decide who belongs to whom. They don't get involved. You know? Pratap Rudra Maharaj was now absolutely desperate. What did he say to Sarvam Bhattacharya? If Lord Chaitanya does not give me mercy, I shall give up my kingdom. Put in my ear an ivory ring. Kanphata yogi, Prabhupada says. Beggars in those days would put an ivory earring, take a begging bowl in their hands, and they were called Kanphata. Kanphata, Kan is ear and Phata, hole in the ear. Kanphata yogis, they would go around begging. Desperation. Sometimes we feel, why was the Lord not answering his prayers? Why? In not answering his prayers, he was answering the prayer. Sometimes when Krishna does not answer the prayer, that is definitely an answer to our prayer. Because Krishna wants the devotee to become desperate. You know, desperately calling out for his mercy. Sometimes when people pray in front of a temple, I saw a notice. It said, don't leave your valuable belongings outside here. Devotees inside may feel that these are the answers to their prayers. You know, don't leave your valuables here. They may take them as an answer to those prayers. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, absolutely desperate. And now the first installment of mercy came. The path of grace is such, the installments will come. Slowly, yet steadily, they do come. All the devotee has to do is persevere like Maharaj Pratap Rudra did. Ramananda Rai told Lord Chaitanya, you don't want to see him, no problem. Just give your garment, your upper cloth. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't know, whatever you want to do, you do. Already the mercy had, already heart was softened. But he said, no, whatever you all want to do, you do. And then the Uttariya, the top garment of Sriman Mahaprabhu was taken and sent to King Pratap Rudra Maharaj. When Pratap Rudra got this as the first sign, that Lord Chaitanya is interested. My God. He was so glad. He held that cloth to his chest. He put the cloth to his head. And Srila Prabhupada comments, anything in connection to Krishna is called tadiya. A cloth, a garland, maha garland, a maha cloth, a prasadam, anything in connection to Krishna is called tadiya. And that becomes worshipable and as surcharged with divine potency as Krishna himself. So when Pratap Rudra Maharaj held the garment of Krishna to his hand, he actually was holding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine potency on his body. Therefore, when the garland is put on during the morning class, that garland is not to say that the speaker is great, to eulogize the greatness of the speaker. The garland comes from the holy deities. It was on their body, and this garland is tadiya naam samarchanam, tadiya, mahaprasad garland. And that garland is put on the speaker so that the potency of the Lord will surcharge the heart of the speaker with divine inspiration to serve the devotees. You know? And thus, some speakers will keep the garland on. Why they keep the garland on? Because they know this is tremendous potency, power. Garlands, maha garlands are not kept on to say, see how I'm such a great. Ashirvad Baba. No. When Vaishnavas keep garlands on their body, those garlands have touched the body of the Lord. They are tadiya. You know? And some speakers will take the garland off because they are scared of false pride. You know, sometimes you can feel, my God. So they may take it off, but they know. Tremendous potency there. Maharaj Pratap Rudra received that garland. Whew. He was in divine ecstasy. When something comes in association with the Lord, it becomes divine. And anything comes in association with the human body, it doesn't become tadiya at all. Prabhupada told that famous story of association, isn't it? That one man went to attend to nature's call in India. You know? And when he did his job, he looked back and he said, you are disgusting. I can't be your source. Can't coming from me. Prabhupada told the story. You're not coming from me. And the stuff spoke back to the man. He said, you are disgusting. Yesterday night I was a first class hot, piping hot samosa. See in your association what I have become. And therefore, Prabhupada told that story for association. In contact with the human body, what happens to stuff? In contact with the Lord, everything becomes divinely surcharged with divine potency. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Maharaj Pratap Rudra got the first installment of mercy. The 14th document, we are coming to a close soon. The 14th document that Maharaj Pratap Rudra filed was gratitude. When he received that chadar, he was not thinking that Ramananda Rai, he got 7 days of Krishna Katha, Radha Katha, aur mere liye keval chadar. Huh? Bas chadar? Itna kiya wo Mahaprabhu ke liye? Bas chadar? I did so much. I arranged for the house. I did this. I did that for Sriman Mahaprabhu. And only chadar? Sometimes we feel like that in Krishna consciousness. I have been doing so much service and he gets more responsibility. For me, only two good words. Good service. He did good service. He got a gift, iPhone 4S. That brahmachari. And I did so much. Good service, Prabhu. Comparison takes away the quality of gratitude. Maharaj Pratap Rudra did not compare chadar and Krishna Katha. On the spiritual platform, everything is divinely surcharged. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, Shri Vigrahara Dhananityanana Shringaratan Mandira Marjanado. Worship of the deity on the altar and cleaning of the temple is both the same. Both are the same mercy, and both the devotees who gets an opportunity to serve the deity and one who gets the opportunity to clean the temple is equally grateful. Thank you for that opportunity to serve. But when we compare, we think higher service, lower service. Pujari, big service, offering aarti. And jhaduwala, janitor, small service, cleaning the temple. Speaker, lecturer, preacher, adored, famous, respected, big service. Giving out books on the street, small service. Getting humbled, getting chastised, getting scoffed at many times. You know, my God. Maharaj Pratap Rudra's 14th document was his deep gratitude for the mercy, that chadar that he had received. And then he filed his 15th document. What was the 15th document? The 15th document was Nityanand Prabhu, Jagdanand Pandit, Sarvam Bhattacharya and many other devotees went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were all pleading, please Mahaprabhu, give your mercy to Pratap Rudra Maharaj. Please. The greatest asset and the greatest strength of a devotee's life is when other devotees are praying for us. That softens the Lord's heart like nothing else. When other devotees pray. And therefore in that forest, Khandav Prastha, when Maya, this demon, was being chased because of the forest fire and Lord Krishna was releasing the Sudarshan Chakra, Maya Danav came and fell at the feet of Arjun. Said, save me. And Arjun as a Kshatriya gave shelter. You've taken shelter, I'll save you. Krishna was coming with the Sudarshan Chakra. Arjun said, Krishna, please. He's taken shelter. Krishna said, Arjun, because you have given shelter, I'll pardon him. Maya was so grateful, what should I do for you? Krishna said, I don't want anything. You build a palace for the Pandavas. That's how the Asat Sabha was created. You know. And therefore a shelter of a devotee is way greater than a shelter of the Lord. And when we are neophyte, we only fight. You know. But as we grow in our spiritual life, we all fight together to fight Maya, not amongst each other. At the end of the day, it is devotee's prayers that matter. Maharaj Pratap Rudra's document was in place. All the devotees had prayed for him. And he got the second installment of his mercy now. The second installment of mercy was Nityanand Prabhu told Lord Chaitanya, you meet his son. It is known according to the Vedas that the father, the son is the representation of the father. So you don't want to meet him, doesn't matter. You meet his son. And that's sufficient. You know. And Pratap Rudra Maharaj sent his son. He was darkish in complexion. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this boy, he was reminded of Lord Krishna. And immediately, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hugged this little boy, Maharaj Pratap Rudra's son. And this boy was transformed, you know. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Lord Chaitanya told the devotees, from now on, every day this boy should come to meet me. Because he reminds me of Krishna, you know. And Prabhupada writes there in the purport, just a day back, this boy was an ordinary child, the son of a Kshatriya. A day later, because he was touched by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a great soul, a great devotee. And therefore, one should not judge a person by his past. Ramanujacharya says there are 12 offenses. 12 offenses in judging devotees. And I won't get into detail, but at least list them. Very important to know. 12 offenses when we deal with Vaishnavas. The first is called Janma Nirupan. One judges a devotee based on his birth. He's a son of a Shudra, son of a Kshatriya, or he's born in America, born an Indian Vaishnava, English Vaishnava, Shudra Vaishnava, Vidura. He was born as a Shudra. One can never judge a Vaishnava by birth. Janma Nirupan. The second offense is Sharira Nirupan. Judging based on the body. Tulsi is a plant. Garuda is a bird. Gajendra is an elephant. Hanuman is a monkey. Jatayu is a vulture. To judge based on the body that a devotee has. One should never do that. Third is Bhava Nirupan. One's age, one's growth, one's circumstances. Oh, he's a child, little child only. He's only chanting Namaste Nalasimaya. Let us wait and see when he grows up. Ramanujacharya says even a child Vaishnava should not be judged. Should not be judged. And he gives examples of Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. They were children. Little children. Narad Muni as a little child of the maidservant. The fourth offense. One should never judge a Vaishnava based on ashram dharma. Right? Never judge. Ambarish Maharaj was a grihastha. Durvas was a renunciant. Apparently Durvas was great. Ambarish was breaking the rules. Did not apparently abide by what Durvas wanted. Never judge, he said. The fifth is avayava dharma. Avayava nirupan. Never to judge a devotee based on bodily deformation. You know, he's squint-eyed. He's lame. His limbs, you know, and he always, you know, kind of does this. There's a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gopinath Patnaik, judging a devotee of son of Maharaj Pratapapur, doing this, you know. Fifth, the sixth he says is, one should never do alasya nirupan. Judging the sleeping habits of a devotee, the eating habits of a devotee, someone's lazy, dull because of previous conditioning, one should never judge a devotee's sincerity based on that, you know. Someone likes pizza, so one should not say, hey, see, because you're Italian, you like Italiano pizza, and then you're Indian, you like Indian rice. Everyone has his conditioning based on one's upbringing and culture. Never to judge one based on alasya, nirupan. The seventh, he says, is vast nirupan. Where does he live? Someone living in a land of India may think, hey, I was born in England, born in this. We are from Bharat Bhumi. So, main se 99 beiman, phir bhi mera Bharat mahan. But I am from Bharat Bhumi. No. One should never do vas nirupan. The eighth is bandhu nirupan. This is very important. Wife, children, husbands, relatives, Vaishnavas. Treating them as Vaishnavas. Not judging family members who are devotees based on material calculations. The ninth, he talks about prakash nirupan. You know, respecting only the big devotees, acharyas and gurus, and neglecting the small ones, insignificant devotees. Tenth is prakat nirupan, is respecting only the most intimate associates of Shri Guru and not respecting the other god brothers and god sisters. 11th is vartan nirupan, judging a devotee based on occupation. He is a cobbler Vaishnava, he is a corporate Vaishnava, you know. He is a doctor Vaishnava. Occupational judgments. And the 12th, he says, is dosh nirupan. Never to judge a devotee based on external faults that appear to one's eyes. This son of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, a day back was an ordinary child. A day later was a Mahabhagavat. And no one, Prabhupada writes in the purport, should make a judgment based on one, the devotee's past. In this way, Maharaj Pratap Rudra filed his 16th document now, right, which was menial service. On the day of Rath Yatra, he took a broom in his hand and started brooming in front of the Rath Yatra cart. Lord Chaitanya saw this and he was so pleased by his menial service that he gave the third installment of mercy. What was the third installment? Lord Chaitanya expanded into many forms in the Sankirtan parties. No one could see. Everyone thought Lord Chaitanya is only in our Kirtan party, looking at us, that's all. Sarvam Bhattacharya and Pratap Rudra was standing on the terrace. And Pratap Rudra said to Sarvabhaum, just see what's happening. Lord Chaitanya has expanded into all of the Sankirtan parties. Rajara Tuchha Seva Dekhir Tushta Hoila Man. When Mahaprabhu saw the Tuchha, menial Seva, Tushta Hoila. Seito Prasade Paila Rahasya Darshan. Therefore he got this Rahasya Darshan. He saw what no one saw. Multiple forms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The fourth installment of mercy came. Lord Chaitanya was dancing in ecstasy and suddenly he fell off. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra held Lord Chaitanya in the hand like this. First installment, Chadar came. Second installment, the sun was embraced and he embraced the sun. The third installment of mercy was, he could see Lord Chaitanya's expansions, expanded forms. The fourth installment was direct touch of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya opened his eyes. My God, he was heavy, heavy. Raja dekhi Mahaprabhu kare na dhikkar, chhi chhi. Chhi chhi vishair, sparsha hoila ajar. He said, condemned am I, chhi chhi. Chhi chhi is a typical Indian way of saying, condemned am I, chhi. That I have touched a materialistic person like a king. Lord Chaitanya was internally very pleased. But he was teaching the world example, how a sannyasi should behave. Therefore, all this was being done. Mahaprabhu, his body touched Maharaj Pratap Rudra's body. And then as the Rath Yatra cart proceeded, finally, Sarvam Bhattacharya said, go, go, go now, you already changed your clothes. Mahaprabhu is resting in the garden, I told you, go, massage his feet. The 17th document was continuing to have faith in the words of Guru and devotees. Because till now, nothing had worked. Just 2 minutes back, Mahaprabhu said, chi, chi, korena dhikkar. And still to have faith. He did not say, Sarvam Bhattacharya, you told me all this, and see, he was saying, chi, chi. I should still go? Yes, go. He went inside and started massaging the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. My God. And started singing the Gopi Geetam. And when he came to the verse, Tava Kathamritam Tapta Jeevanam, said, Bhuri Dajana, Lord Chaitanya got up from his resting position and started shouting, Bhurida, 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 magnanimous are those who are distributing this nectar of Krishna Katha, and hugged Pratap Rudra Maharaj tightly, tightly, the fifth installment of mercy, the straight embrace of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know. And after receiving this embrace, Mahaprabhu asked Pratap Rudra, who are you? Said, you don't know, I arranged for the house, the king of Odisha. He said, I'm simply a servant of the servant of your servants. And the final mercy, sixth mercy, installment of mercy came when Lord Chaitanya was leaving for Vrindavan. He called for Pratap Rudra and holding his head on his chest, Lord Chaitanya wept tears. And Kaviraj Goswami explains, he did an abhishek of his tears of love on Pratap Rudra Maharaj. It's very hard to make God cry. You can make God laugh. Tell him your plans. It's a joke to him. You can make God laugh easily. You can't make God cry easily. He gave him an abhishek of his tears. And the final installment of mercy, the seventh, was, Kaviraj Goswami says, from that day on, Lord Chaitanya got an extra name. His name was Pratap Rudra Santrata. Till the time Lord Chaitanya's glories would exist on the planet Earth, he would be known as the deliverer of King Pratap Rudra. And therefore, on the path of grace, we have discussed, I'll quickly summarize all the 17 documents. Authoritative acceptance of Sarvam Bhattacharya, 1. Desire to meet Lord Chaitanya, 2. Faith in the words of Sarvam Bhattacharya, 3. Service attitude to the Lord, 4. 5th, uncommanding nature. 6th, service attitude to the devotees, not just the Lord. 7th, non-enviousness. 8th, humility. 9th, patience. Today we discuss the 10th, determination. 11th quality, Guru Kripa, the mercy of Sarvam Bhattacharya. 12th quality, love. Love, even no reciprocation, still I'll serve. 13th quality, desperation. I'll become a beggar, but I'll receive his mercy. 14th quality, gratitude. No comparison between mercy. I got a chadar, Ramananda got someone. No. 15th quality, prayers of great devotees for him. Lord's heart softened. 16th quality is menial service in front of the chariot. And the 17th ultimately was continual faith in the words of Sarvam Bhattacharya and the Vaishnavas. All these 17 were his visa documents which he filed, and 7 installments of mercy came and the visa grace was granted. The 7 installments were, the first mercy came in the form of a chadar, tadiya. The second mercy came in the form of the son who was embraced, whom he embraced. The third installment of mercy came as Rahasya Darshan, seeing the expansions of Lord Chaitanya. Fourth mercy came in the form of touch of Lord Chaitanya's body. Fifth mercy came in the form of tight embrace. The sixth installment came in the form of the Abhishek of tears. And the last one was the name Prataprudra Santrata. And therefore, following in the footsteps of Sriman Mahaprabhu and King Prataprudra, if we simply try to follow the teachings of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada on this path of grace called Bhakti, based on the promise of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, one day, like Lord Chaitanya blessed Maharaj Prataprudra, we will all be blessed by the Vaishnava Srila Prabhupada and Sriman Mahaprabhu's mercy, and we can perfect our Krishna consciousness in that way. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.